I just want to read as well some verses to you from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It is a remarkable thing that in the New Testament, the woman that we read about in Joshua chapter 2 is taken up and is given to us and is an example of faith. I'm reading from the Church Bible again on page 1210. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what we read about Rahab, verse 31. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. But this woman, Rahab, from the Old Testament that we read about, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is in a way a chapter which is all about faith. If you want to know, what is faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Then this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is a great chapter to read, and you could read it this afternoon, to think about, do I have faith? Do you have faith? Do you really trust in Jesus Christ? When we sang about a person trusting in the Lord alone, do you trust in the Lord alone? Faith, for example, we are told in this chapter, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is built on the promises of God, who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what he has done in his life and death and resurrection. And it's building your life on what you can't see, but which you can know as a real power and transformation in your heart and life. And in this chapter, lots of examples are given about men and women of faith. So, for example, again, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. How is it you come to understand a creator God who designed and fashioned and made by faith, says the Bible. You read about a man like Enoch who triumphed over physical death. How? Through faith. You read about a Moses who was willing to forsake lots of pleasurable things in this world that he might live for and trust in a God whom he couldn't see. How? Through faith. We also read in this chapter about this woman we're going to think about called Rahab. How is it that she, in a pagan culture, would come to trust in a God who she was hearing about from people who'd come in to conquer the land, even the city where she lived? By faith, says the Bible. Now, all over our country, all over virtually every country in the world, there are monuments raised to victories. And this chapter, it seems to me, is like a monument that's raised to the victories of faith. The question I want to ask this morning is this: can a prostitute become a Christian? Can a prostitute become a Christian? Here is a woman called Rahab. She's living in a doomed city called Jericho. Now, Jericho was a strategic and important city as Joshua was leading people into a new land and to conquer it. Right in their path lay a city with fortifications that seemed so strong that it was a city that it would be impossible to conquer. But by faith, we read, Joshua and those who trusted in God were able to occupy the land and take what seemed to be an impossible city to conquer through faith. Jericho wasn't taken by siege machines, battering rams, and strategies of warfare. It was taken by faith. trusting in a God who worked a mighty miracle that brought the mighty walls of Jericho down flat. But here's Rahab living in this doomed city. Here's a woman living a sinful lifestyle. Here's a woman engaged in all probability in immoral Canaanite pagan religion. Here's a woman who lied about her actions, and we'll think about that in a moment. But she acted on faith, and she was spared the judgment of God. In Wales, where I was brought up, lots of people were given names and nicknames according to what they did. So you have Jones the milk, Williams the papers, Evans the co, a friend called Paul Deems, who became an undertaker. They called him Deems the Death. But here, Rahab the prostitute. Could she be transformed by faith, by the grace of God, by trusting in the living God? Could she be forgiven? Could she have new life? Could she know God's grace? It seemed hopeless, didn't it? Living in spiritual darkness, a pagan culture, a prostitute selling her body for sex, bound for destruction. And yet, through faith, here's a woman who knew the power of God's grace, was so transformed, she becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David, the most important king of the Old Testament, the one who wrote the song we sang earlier, "The Lord's my shepherd, the Lord your shepherd." Well, the Lord became her shepherd, and she became the great-great-grandmother to the man who wrote the song. In fact, even more amazing, she enters the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she went from disgrace to a place in the Hall of Fame in the New Testament, a chapter which tells us what faith is, and men and women who live by faith. Well, how did it happen? We've read something about how it happened in Joshua chapter 2. God had commanded his people to take the land of Canaan. They came out of the wilderness. The promised land was before them, but there was the city of Jericho, this impregnable fortress. Joshua selected two men, and they went into the city to spy it out, and there they met Rahab. And they stayed in Rahab's house, a place where they could find out, in all likelihood, all about the gossip of the city. And what Rahab did has troubled people, because the Bible says she reported that the two spies who'd come to her house had left, when the truth was she'd hidden them up on her roof. And perhaps you've thought about that issue if you've ever read this account before. How is it that the Bible tells us about that? And yet she still is described as a woman of faith and a woman who's transformed by God's grace. Well, let me give you a few thoughts, and I'll move from what I think is the least to what seems to me to be the most likely explanation. Some people have said, well, Rahab's lie was okay because human life is precious. What she said to save life. Men and women are created in the image of God, so anything and everything must be done to preserve life. Or, her lie was okay because this was war. We're in a war sort of situation, similar to stories you may have read of Dutch people who hid Jewish people in their homes during the Second World War, and in those hiding places when troops came to find and discover Jews were hiding. They lied to save life. Or another explanation might be, the lie was not okay, but it was the lesser of two evils. Turn the spies over to the king, and they'd be killed. Or lie and save their lives. But she took the lesser of two evils. Or you might say, well, her lie was not okay. But she didn't know any better. She's in Jericho, she's in a pagan city. She'd had so little light and revelation from God. She didn't know any better. Or finally, you might say, well, her lie was not right. But that's not really the main issue that the Bible is drawing attention to. The main thing that the Bible is drawing attention to is that there's nobody in Hebrews chapter 11 who was perfect, just like there's nobody who's perfect in this congregation this morning. Who here has never told a lie or who's never done anything wrong? Each person in Hebrews 11, each person in Jericho, each person in this congregation this morning, a sinner. Rahab isn't being commended for her lie, but she is being commended for her faith. You've sinned and I've sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. What's important is her faith. Do you have faith? And what is your faith in? Who is your faith in? It's clear, through what she heard, she believed, she trusted in the living God. She was rescued, she was saved. So I want to say three things about her, very simply. The first is this, she was convicted. She was convicted. Listen to what the Bible tells us about her, as we've read the account. This is what she said to those two spies who had gone into Jericho to suss out the situation there. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Zion and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Now notice this particularly. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now, where did she learn that from? The Lord your God, she says to these two men, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now, that was the opposite to everything she'd learned previously. She'd have been raised to believe that there were many gods. You may have been raised to think there are many ways to heaven, many ways to God. Doesn't matter what you believe. Now she says, there's one true living God. The Lord, he's God, she says. This assertion, who God is, that he's the true God, that all other gods are false. And he's the living God in heaven above and on earth beneath. He's sovereign, he's the king, he's in control of all things. And Rahab's faith then meant, it was more than just words, she let the spies into her home, she hid them there. What she did is showing us that what she'd said was real. Because faith is always more than words. It's life-changing. Reflects in your whole life. So you imagine this woman, this idol worshipper, is making a statement of faith. The Lord your God, she says to them, he's God. He's God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She's saying that this God is my God, isn't she? Who had been working in her heart. God had been working in her heart. Of all the people in the city of Jericho, was it just by chance that these two spies happened to go to the house of Rahab? Well, it wasn't just by chance. Certainly God used her to rescue the spies. She hid them. She helped them escape. She let them down out of her window in her house on the city wall. She gave them this plan to protect them. But it's like as if these two men were a guided missile from God, going right to that house, right to that woman. A woman in whose heart God had been working. She'd heard about the Red Sea, how it had parted and how the children of Israel had come through the Red Sea. She'd heard about the victories they'd won. She'd heard about this living God. I'm saying to you this morning, in Netley, in Southampton, wherever you might live, God works in people's hearts as you are led by the Holy Spirit. God brings together, as it were, someone who's led by the Spirit, looking to witness and testify for Jesus Christ, and someone whose heart God has been working in. God brings those two things together, because I'm saying in here, if you're a Christian this morning, God prepares and works in your heart to lead you by the Holy Spirit to people, colleagues in work, in the street where you live, in the post office, in the factory, in the university, wherever it is, people in whose hearts he's been working. And like a guided missile, God takes you and brings you to the right person at the right time. But God works in your heart too. Leads you by the Spirit. Take the message of who God is to needy men and women. So in the Bible, you have in Acts chapter 8, there's a wealthy Ethiopian. He's been to Jerusalem to worship. He's out in the desert now reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. God sees his hungry heart. God sends Philip from Samaria to talk to that one man, Philip, like a guided missile. God sends him to a wealthy Ethiopian man in the desert. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asks him. He says, how can I understand what Isaiah is saying unless someone explains it to me? Philip says, well, I'll explain it to you. Like a guided missile. Philip, a wealthy Ethiopian man. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's on a journey. And the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. There's a woman with a very shady past by a well in Samaria. Again, like a guided missile, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And a woman with a very shady past. This water in a well. But have you ever heard Jesus says to her of living water? God can change your life and clean it up. Oh, she said, tell me about this living water. I'd like to drink living water like that. I'd like to know about this living water. Go and fetch your husband. She's had five husbands. And the man you're with now, not your husband, Jesus says to her. Now, sometimes you've got to be very bold to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, like a guided missile, these two men, it's not just a charm. Bang. Speak to a woman. God has been working in her heart. She's convicted. The second thing, have you been convicted? God unsettles you. There is a God. I'm accountable to him. I must meet this God one day. Give an account of my life to him. She was convicted. Secondly, she was convinced. She was convinced. This episode occurs. She hides them in the roof. And then they say, well, look, if you and your family are going to be spared in this city, you must put this sign in the window of your house. And everyone who's in the house will be saved. We swear to you, they say. As long as you do that, and you arrange for us to escape, we see this faith that you now have, we'll make this oath to you. Everyone in your house will be delivered, provided you hang this scarlet cord out of the window of your house. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. Agreed. Let it be as you say. James in the New Testament says those two men were messengers. They were spies, but they were also messengers. Rahab said, if I can put it like this, as she heard a message from God, in her heart and with her mouth, Rahab, and in her life, Rahab said, let it be as you say. See, here's me, 16 years old, fighting against God, knowing the Bible, but not wanting to believe it. And suddenly, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let it be as you say, in my heart and life. I'm saying to you this morning, have you ever had that encounter with God through his word and by the Spirit? And God brings you his word and you say, it's right. Let it be as you say. I was reading the other day about a story of the great general Napoleon was carrying out a review of his troops. And as he was riding along on a horse, looking at all his troops, the horse suddenly bolted. His life was endangered because the horse reared up. And it was a pretty tricky situation for him. And one of the men, at the risk of his own life, jumped out of the ranks, grabbed hold of the horse and brought it under control, calmed it, saved the emperor. Napoleon said to the man, he said, thank you, my man, he said, my captain. The man said to him, captain, sir? Yes, he said, captain of my lifeguards. The man was just an ordinary soldier, you see. And the emperor has just said to him, captain of my lifeguards. So he goes back into the ranks and he says to the men, I'm not standing here with you anymore. The emperor has made me captain. They all laugh. Chester, but now the ordinary soldier, you're not the captain. He said, I am. The emperor said, I'm the captain. He began to walk out of the ranks now, take his place alongside the generals, captains, and those who are in charge. Back, they said, get back into the ranks. You're just a soldier. I'm not, he said, I'm not a soldier anymore. The emperor has made me a captain. And then Napoleon rides along. See this horse? He said, he's taken me at my word, he said. Make him a captain. Becoming a Christian is a bit like that, isn't it? You hear God's message, you hear about the Bible, but there comes a time when you do something. You act upon it. You take God at his word. That's what Rahab did. She heard it, but faith comes by hearing the word of God, but faith isn't just passive. Faith then acts. You exercise faith. And the spies told her to put a scarlet cord in the window. Now, if you've read the Bible, I don't know what that reminds you of. It reminds me of the fact that before this, in Exodus chapter 12, God, when he was going to deliver his people out of captivity and take them to this new promised land, had told them to take the blood of a lamb, a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish, and put the blood of that lamb upon the lintel and doorposts of their home. And when God brought judgment upon people in Egypt, he said, but when I see the blood of that lamb in your homes, I'll pass over you. And this sort of reminds me of that Rahab was saved from destruction. She trusted, agreed, she said, let it be according to your word. And she had enough faith then to hang the scarlet cord out of her window. I wonder what her family would have said when she told them, now the only people in Jericho who are going to be rescued are the people who come into my house and I've hung this scarlet cord out of the window and it's only the people in this house are going to be saved from destruction when this city is destroyed. Some might have said to her, Rahab, they said, don't be daft. You're in the strongest position in this city of all. Because what was Jericho known for? Its impregnable city walls. And her house is on the wall. Don't be daft, Rahab, they said. No, no one's going to destroy this city. No one's taking this city. Look at these walls. We're safe here. Or someone might have said to her, how can a scarlet cord hanging out of your window save you? We don't think we need to be saved anyway. But if we're going to be saved, we're going to save ourselves. And putting a scarlet cord out of the window is not going to save anybody. Or someone else might have said, well, we've got plenty of time to think about going into your house. Those Hebrews out there, there's no battering rams, no catapults, no siege engines. How are they going to capture this city? Well, you've got plenty of time. When Jericho was destroyed, I'm sure there were many nice people who perished, many rich people who perished, many well-educated people who perished, many religious people who perished. And they had all this in common. Perished in their sins. They did not have faith. The Bible says to you this morning, as God comes through his word and by his spirit to you and to me, God who knows all about your past, like he knew all about Rahab's past. But are you going to have faith? Will you trust him for forgiveness, for cleansing, a new life? Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, says the Bible, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus' death on the cross, that he died as the one to take away sin. Rahab's sin and your sin and mine. See, if you think, well, how can a prostitute go to heaven? The good news is, it's only unworthy people who go to heaven. People who think that they're all right and worthy and can make it on their own and don't need God, they're the people headed for destruction. You say, oh, you've been sleeping around or messing around or fooling around or making lots of stupid mistakes. But unworthy people, but who turn to God and know his grace and forgiveness and new life, they're the ones who are forgiven and cleansed and go to heaven. And I'm saying, if God can save a Rahab, he can save you. I'd rather be a Rahab on my way to heaven than a self-righteous person who thinks that I'm okay and I can do it on my own. I don't need God on my way to destruction. And because of this transformation, Rahab is now known as the great-great-grandmother of King David. And in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to how the New Testament begins. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. In verse 5, we read about that genealogy. In that genealogy, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. But there she is, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, there's a tradition that Salmon was one of the spies who went into Jericho. Spy out the city. But be that as it may, here she is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, in the genealogy of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, a woman of faith, spoken of in the New Testament as an example of someone who's justified right before God. And it's all through faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may say to me this morning that you're too young, or too old, or too good, or too bad, or that it's too soon, or it's too late to become a Christian. And I've heard every one of them. People who say to me, I'm too young to be a Christian. I went on for quite a while in my own life thinking, oh, I've got plenty of time to think about being a Christian. Or I'm too old to become a Christian. Or I'm too good or too bad. See? I think Rahab is given to us an example in the Bible. She says, no one. Lots of people are given to us as examples like this in the Bible. No one outside the reach of God's grace. I'm sure there were people in Jericho who said, oh, we've got plenty of time to think about being saved from Jericho's destruction. Didn't look as the people were marching around Jericho for 7 days as if anything was going to happen to the city. Lots of people in our society think, I don't really need to think about God or take the Bible seriously or Jesus Christ seriously. Doesn't look to me as if I've got any need for God at all. And sometimes God in a culture, in a society, shakes the society. I think we've known something about that in recent months. To be reminded. Live for yourself, live for this world, live for what's temporary. But it doesn't bring real meaning and satisfaction. God's put eternity into your heart. Going to know new life with God, forgiveness, and walking with God and His grace in your life. It's not too soon and it's not too late. One day, trumpets of judgment sounded over the city of Jericho. The walls did come down. And the people in Jericho who did not believe perished. It's in Jesus Christ there's forgiveness and refuge and safety. Bible says, for all of us, there's a day of judgment coming. We must stand before God. We must give an account. The way to be right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. So Rahab, it seems to me, is a wonderful testimony to the grace of God and to you this morning. You have faith, trust in Jesus Christ. You can know the deliverance that she knew.